Okay, this is a recording. Looks like the date is the 8th of January. So I'm going to try to make a few remarks here. We have a 3-page information and reportage we would like to receive from Prime Policy Group. My name is Richard. I'm sort of going over what we've got here. We need to give some kind of report to our supporters, now that we're ending up our 2 months of lobbying. So we'd like to have this master list of all people contacted, title, what office they're associated with, date, time, and place. So I give some examples here. Should be self-explanatory. I mean, that's it. I'm not asking you to recount, what they said. I'm saying who we contacted. So we talk to our own supporters or the other groups. We say, look, these are the people we contacted. And so, we know a bit of what's going on because we talk to these people. The arguments, as opposed to, a recounting of what everyone said, we're not looking for that, but rather the categories of arguments. I mean, it seems like everything they said could perhaps be separated into a few categories. So I gave some examples here. So I thought maybe if we organized it in that way, it'd be easier to show our supporters, these kind of arguments are what the officials and the other involved people are saying. So number three was, what have we accomplished? What have we achieved from October 28th to the present? Is our message getting across? Do we have people coming to our side of the fence? Our initial goal was, to promote this. And, we thought if we communicated the correct facts, we'd get the results. So how do we explain what's going on here? Number four, lobbying. What is lobbying? Because we hired PPG with the understanding, you would do the lobbying. So our idea was there was a certain amount of strength to communicate there and then the ability to remove the obstacles. But, as we communicate from your different reports we received so far, then, there seem to be some obstacles there, but we don't even know why these obstacles are there. I mean, they're not being removed. So how do we justify the work done so far? Or what do we tell the Taiwanese supporters, as we go over this, especially during the Chinese New Year, we meet a lot of these people. Quite frankly speaking, I mean, that they want results. I mean, they think they're entitled to the results. So, and this is what we told them. This is why we wanted to lobby. We thought we want to communicate the correct information to the U.S. government officials. Okay, where do we go from here? If we continue with lobbying, what would be the direction and costs? I mean, we've done the initial survey overview, this kind of stuff, which is what Lisa said we needed to do first. I don't know, what happens next? Do we have something that could be built on? What would be next? What would we want to focus on? What would be the estimated cost for the next stage of work? How do we get some solid results? What rationale we're going to use to talk to the people in power? Alternatively, 5B. Alternatively, are there specific projects maybe which TAC should undertake before continuing with further lobbying efforts? I mean, maybe that's what we need to think about. And number six, before signing any further contract, we'd like to have one or two video conferences with you, Lisa, etc., and the Taiwanese supporters. However, there's no way we can get that done before the Chinese New Year. And they'll be busy for a while afterwards. We would have to arrange at least one video conference in central Taiwan with the supporters and me. I don't know if my wife would go down for that or not. You know, we can work something out with the time difference. Probably another video conference with PPG, my wife, and me. You know, some sort of conference or Skype or something. And then, you know, after that, we go back to them supporters for further discussion, see what they think. So this is what I came up with after talking to some of my people. This like three-page thing of what we wanted. And I thought, you know, that's good. If you could give us something like this, we'd have something to show to our supporters and also perhaps show to some other affiliated groups, although we probably wouldn't give them a copy, but we show to them, talk to them, and be able to talk to them about what we've done and our need for, you know, collecting money to keep working, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I thought that would be good. It's like about 6 points. But it occurs to me, maybe, you know, maybe you could give me a separate sheet or two, and you could give me more frank comments over there. In other words, what I'm looking for in the issues I've listed out here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, as a general overview, would hope those to be more positive. This is something I can show to the supporters. Okay, there's great hope for the future, et cetera, et cetera. The tone of this report would be very much upbeat. I think, you know, we have to show the reporters, the supporters and other people. But I thought maybe you could give me a separate report, a couple extra pages, and maybe you could just be more frank about it. I mean, see, when we originally got into this, we had heard many years ago from some people in the States, actually more than one person had mentioned the story of the Indians. And they said, you know, that many years ago, back in the 1800s, the Indians made some treaties with the United States government. And those treaties were later, you know, misplaced. The ones in D.C., I don't know, they were filed away, but they were misplaced. And then the Indians, of course, being nomadic and everything, they misplaced theirs too. But then later, some 10, 20 years later, or some lengthy period of time later, then the Indians actually found those treaties, and then they found, you know, oh, there are a bunch of things that were not being done. According to the treaty, you know, you should do this, this, and this, and those weren't being done. So, you know, they sent their representatives to Washington, and they said, look, you agreed in the treaty to do this, this, and this. And they said, oh, yeah, we don't even know where those treaties are. I mean, you know, back in those days, you know, you didn't have any sort of electronic filing system or scanning or ability to archive documents, you know, on some web server or anything like that. So they looked over the treaties and people sat down and they said, well, this is a valid treaty. It was signed by our U.S. government representatives, you know, signed by the Minister of the Interior, you know, whatever. And these are all valid treaties. So, okay, let's look at these and see what we have to do. And then they went there and then they said, okay, wow, it says we got to do this, this, and this. Okay, we'll do it. Now, we had thought that those kind of stories were true. And so, again, coming back to what I just said a few minutes ago, we thought that if we pointed out to the people in power, hey, look at the San Francisco Treaty. Number one, you're totally ignoring the San Francisco Treaty. You talk about the three pillars of the Taiwan-China-USA relationship being what? The Taiwan Relations Act, the One China Policy, and the three joint communiques. But wait a minute here. ROC issuing passports it doesn't go along with the One China Policy. I mean, hello, wake up, you know. The ROC is not recognized under the Taiwan Relations Act, so there's no way that they can be a valid passport issuing authority. And you've also said you don't recognize them as a state or a government. I mean, we have all these quotations that we collected from Department of State about what is the Republic of China. And Dennis Wilder, National Security Agency, he said issue undecided. And Secretary Powell said they don't have independence and all this. There's no way the ROC can be the correct authority to issue passports to native Taiwanese people. And we can show you the history, which you can verify from your records. And there's no valid naturalization of the native Taiwanese people as ROC citizens. It's totally invalid. As a matter of fact, mass naturalization during a period of belligerent occupation is a serious violation of international law. So that cannot be allowed to stand, et cetera, et cetera. And yet we take all these arguments, including the argument that the San Francisco Treaty is as a ratified treaty, it's the supreme law of the land. I mean, it's not a subjective question of whether, in our view, of whether some, you know, government official wants to enforce that or not. You took an oath of office to uphold the Constitution. I mean, here are the facts. Just, you know, you see how we've been led to believe that, you know, the United States is a country of laws. And so these things will just be done. And so what they have to do, they have to do. So, you know, like I say, we're, you know, it's really hard for us to understand what's going on here, you know. I mean, I guess we cannot get an official letter. See, I thought the idea if we made some sort of application procedure to Department of Defense, then, you know, if by lobbying, if we had thought, since you can be in touch with Department of Defense people, then you could say, okay, we gave you the application, and so if you don't like the application, then reject it. Give us a formal rejection letter. And then we thought, you know, maybe the lawyer could do something with that. Our friend Mr. Camp, or, you know, maybe someone could do something with that. I mean, you know, I mean, Mr. Camp is very, very expensive. You know, later, our group before, they worked with some other lawyers who were not so expensive. But at any rate, you know, maybe something could be done, or, you know, we could move in the right direction. But of course, in our original 2 months, we were not, it was not felt that was, you know, suitable. So, like I say, maybe, you, other than the first report, which I hope is upbeat, we can show to our supporters and our affiliated organizations or people who want to be affiliated, whatever. Maybe something more frank can be, you know, given in a sort of separate few pages. So we're hoping to have this information. So, you know, this is the first time I've, you know, made a recording. And so I was thinking I'd just sort of explain what that's all about. So hopefully, you know, you be able to take a few notes on this and then, you know, maybe get us some information together that we can show and understand what we want to do here. And we, you know, we still have to coordinate. I mean, I'm just thinking the it seems like the whole tone in DC is not conducive to what we want to do. I mean, so that's going back to my point, which is 5B. Maybe we're starting this too early when we haven't. There's some groundwork that has to be done first, and maybe it's up to us to do that through some other channels or something. I mean, we can see what the people in DC are saying, according to what Lisa found out for us by contacting all these people. But, you know, I don't know. It doesn't seem, you know, real positive in terms of what we want to do. It's almost like, you know, they're unaware of all these considerations. And I mean, these, as far as the Taiwanese people are concerned, these things are basic. These are basic. And why do we have to? Secretary of State Kerry is talking about human dignity and human rights. And you can't talk to the State Department about that. The human dignity of the Taiwanese people is just excluded from all these lofty remarks that he's making. I mean, previously I had collected the quotes of the different presidents talking about liberty, And John F. Kennedy has a very famous quote about liberty and how, you know, we will not hesitate. We will not waver in the pursuit of liberty. Well, the Taiwanese people, they want their liberty. How can they have liberty when they're living under a foreign regime that has never, you know, had legitimacy here? And the constitution of this foreign regime has never included Taiwan in their national territory. And there's no international treaty giving Taiwan to this foreign regime. And they're here, and yet the United States supports them. The United States congratulates the foreign regime on democratic elections using a constitution that does not cover the Taiwan area. What is going on? You know, we cannot understand what is going on, you know, so, well, we need your help on getting it deciphered. So if you have any questions, of course, give me an email. Thank you very much. And I hope, you know, my remarks don't sound like, you know, I'm getting hot under the collar, but it is an issue of concern to us. And I've been promoting this and I've asked people for their support, monetary support. And of course, they're supporting me. So I have the, you know, necessity and I have the obligation to present some, you know, results to them. So that's my situation. Thank you.